Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, happy Valentine's Day. I hope you had a great day interacting with people closest to you, perhaps giving and receiving cards and treats. Valentine's Day is fun. It's meaningful. And at times, it's dangerous. If you are in a relationship and there are certain expectations in play, perhaps even more dangerous if those expectations are unspoken. It's a day for love to be communicated, to be given, and to be received. So, welcome to worship tonight, where after a bulletin, one of the first things we offered you is a smudge of ash on your forehead and the reminder that dust you are, the dust you shall return. It's kind of a strange Valentine. But so begins our Lenten journey, not just this year, but every year. We come together, we gather in this building, and we take stock of our true condition. We hear God's diagnosis of us. The same diagnosis he gave to our parents, Adam and Eve, the garden thousands of years ago. They had been created to love and to trust in God and to delight in his care. But they had broken that trust and gone their own way with devastating consequences for themselves and for the world around them. Designed to live forever as God's image bearers. They now hear the words we heard this evening. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Now our story differs slightly from Adam and Eve's. We were not born in perfection, and we were not placed into a world that was fully flourishing and radiating God's goodness and glory. No, we were born broken. Born into a world that is broken. But though our story is different from Adam and Eve's in those ways, there is much that is the same when we honestly look at our thoughts, our words, and our actions. At one level, we might say that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil doesn't exist anymore, and yet at another level, we can honestly admit that the fruit of that tree is all around us all the time, and frankly, we know the taste of that fruit pretty well. We do life by our own strength. We live by our own rules. We worry because we aren't very practiced in trusting God. We get frustrated with others because we've been looking to them to make us happy, and they're not coming through for us. Our words puff us up without building others up in love. And our actions often convey that we love ourselves, our status, our safety, our security, far more than we love our neighbor. Dust we are, and to dust we shall return. And today we admit that we come to that honestly. What is said about us is completely fair. And yet, we gather knowing that God's desire was never to leave us with what we deserve, with what is fair. The journey of Lent that we begin today is really a journey of hope. And the story that we begin to tell today is not meant to be received simply as a tragedy or as a cautionary tale, but in true Valentine's Day style, it's a love story. It's the account of the love of God that is so strong, so faithful, so persistent, that it cannot and it will not leave us in the dust. Our story is one of restoration, of a God whose love is powerful enough to renew what is broken and lost and to work life even where there was only death. The tender love of God does not call us to the carpet to leave us humiliated and exposed. Instead, it beckons us to return, to turn away from that which is killing us, and to turn to him For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He's the Father in the parable of the prodigal son, desiring that even the worst offender turn around and come home. So, as we begin to tell the story of Lent, the story of love, our first chapter tonight focuses specifically on clothes. That is, the proper attire for the journey. Specifically, we look at clothing as the outward signal to what is actually going on inside of us. Interestingly, when we turn to the first pages of the Bible and find Adam and Eve in the garden, we receive information about their attire. In Genesis chapter 2, their attire consists of nothing. We are told that they are naked and unashamed, and their clothing, or lack thereof, reflected their relationship before God and one another. It was completely intimate. Nothing to hide. Knowing as they had been known and being okay with that until Genesis chapter 3. Until they ate the fruit. When they made that decision to betray that relationship into which God had brought them, suddenly there was something to hide. There was shame. Something was not right. And I can't just have you looking at me and seeing everything. From that day, clothing became a necessary part of our existence as human beings. And not simply because we live in northeastern Wisconsin and it's awfully cold in the winter. The first set of clothes that we hear about in the Bible are those that the man and the woman tried to make for themselves, tried to string together fig leaves to cover their nakedness. Again, the attire reflected the condition of their hearts, now messed up, trying to hide, trying to cover up, and frankly not doing a very good job of it. So what does this look like for us? Well, it looks like all the attempts we make to excuse or justify our behavior. It looks like the pleas that we put out to our loved ones to have them judge us according to our intentions, rather than according to what we have actually done or said to them. It's that natural first inclination that we have. We want to defend ourselves. We want to excuse ourselves. And all our efforts are about as effective as Adam and Eve's fig leaf underwear. Thankfully, God had a better idea. In love, God found them in their new, shamed condition and provided a solution. Clothing from animal skins, the blood of a substitute is shed so that they might be properly covered. Fast forward to our reading from Joel chapter 2, and we come to a moment in which we find God's people living out of their broken, adulterous natures. They're called to live by faith in Him, and yet here they are, wandering, flirting, cheating on God with the idols of the nations around them. Now they've experienced a moment of national distress. There's been a locust invasion. It has utterly obliterated their crops. And they don't know what to do. God is calling them back. In Joel chapter 1, after that invasion, God calls upon the leaders of the people, the spiritual leaders, to put on sackcloth, to clothe themselves in sackcloth. Now, if you're not familiar with what that is, it's a coarse, baggy material made out of basically black goat hair. It was very rough. It was uncomfortable. But more importantly, it was meant to be a signal of what was supposed to be going on inside of their hearts. Humility. Repentance. It comes out loud and clear when we get to Joel chapter 2, verses 12 13, which we heard in our reading today, where God says to them, "Return to me with all your heart and with fasting, weeping, and mourning, rend your heart and not your garments. So on one hand, you have sackcloth as this show of repentance, but it's meant to be a signal of something else. It's not simply about the show. God's looking for the real thing, the thing that's going on inside. Now, in Lent, a lot of people take on a special practice for a period of time. Maybe you add devotional life. Maybe you withhold something from your normal diet, sweets, caffeine, alcohol, something like that. And these things can be good and helpful, but only if they are actually getting us to the heart of the matter, which is the matter of the heart. Lent is a time to get real, to look at ourselves in the mirror, to see ourselves as we really are, with no justifying, no excuses. Why? Because when we do, we'll be ready to receive the gracious help that our Heavenly Father actually desires to give to us. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. In love, He provided Adam and Eve with a better clothing. And in love, He does the same for you, to save us, to cover our shame. He begins by clothing Himself in our flesh. The Son comes to be one of us, to share our human life, the one clothed in dignity and glory from eternity, comes to find us. And then, to rescue us, strips Himself of that dignity, strips Himself of that glory, sheds those garments so that He might place them on you instead. He, Jesus, dies shamefully. He dies exposed. He dies as the sin bearer on the cross. And we are covered by His forgiveness and love, so that we might stand unashamed for the Father, for Jesus' sake. So no matter how we might find ourselves clothed today, this journey of Lent is meant to be a journey of hope. In Jesus, God has clothing far better for us. Where we would defend ourselves, God gives us in Jesus the ultimate defender. Where we would justify our intentions and our actions, God offers in His Son complete justification. Where we would excuse ourselves, God forgives for Jesus' sake. God invites you today to give up the charade of covering your own backside. You're covered with something better, the robe of Christ's righteousness for you. It's Valentine's Day, and the love story's begun. Come back next week to hear more. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds this day and always in Christ Jesus, our Lord, the one who covers us. Amen.